Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. God bless you and keep you. Father, we thank you for these wonderful revelations you've given us today, Lord, to encourage the saints that these things are beginning, even as they've been foretold. And thank you so much, Father, for the encouragement. We thank you for blessing everyone out there to have faith and to claim the promises, claim the words that you have spoken. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to talk about many things that have been prophesied, which will begin to come now. We're going to start out with this revelation. Believe, now is the time. And Vanessa Weeks got this on 4/28 this 2021. I saw in an encouraging dream that we of UBM were in a pavilion. And I believe the Lord said to me that this means under the covering. And sitting at white tables eating. And I believe the white tables represent the pure food of the Word. Angelica, meaning messenger, has just given Judy, meaning praise, her watch. It was a face watch with a white band, and Judy wore it on her right wrist. Judy was showing it to us, and it kept slipping off because the band would come loose. This happened one time as Judy stood by me while we were eating. She was wearing a long dress with pink flowers. I believe this represents fruit and beauty. Then the watch fell on the floor, and Judy picked it up, and Angelica said, "It always does that." And I thought that this might be about the different times and various expectations which have failed to come to pass in the time we had hoped as time slipped away, like the watch slipped away, right? But if we praise the Lord for what He has promised, the time will not slip away. So, you know, the Lord wants us to walk by faith and give thanks unto Him for these things that He is showing us. Not just sit there and wait, sitting on our hands. We have a part to play in God's promises. It didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard. God wants it mixed with faith. And in the next scene, Michael, meaning who is like God, and I, representing the bride, were laying on a white bed, representing the rest. He was saying some important things to me. He was saying that sometimes things don't work out like we think they should. And I had asked the Lord for a word about if the delays, this is me speaking now, not her. He said, I'd asked the Lord for a word about the delays, if they were because people were not ready or not believing. And I got this text, which I reported in that morning meeting of May the 6th, 2021. And Vanessa said, David said almost the same words, and he got Ezekiel 12, 21 through 28. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, interesting, Son of man, what is this proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Many think that, you know, they think that, because it hadn't come to pass in their timing that it's failed, or it's going to be in the future, or whatever, you know. But the Lord wants us to believe now, when He gives us something, and see the end from the beginning, and speak faith about it, right? Tell them, therefore, thus saith the Lord, I will make this proverb to cease, that is, that it would be prolonged, and every vision faileth. I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel, but say unto them, the days are at hand, and the fulfillment of every vision. Ooh, praise the Lord. In other words, the things that we've heard about and hoped would come before now are now beginning to happen. For there shall be no more any false vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. Now, when I read this, this is what came to me. This is meaning all the things and the timings that were given to us by insiders in the Trump administration about what and when things would come. And, of course, we know it was delayed, 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 okay? And so he said, this kind of stuff is not going to happen anymore. Why? Well, verse 25, for I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall be performed. It shall be no more deferred. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I speak the word. And he's talking about the rebellious house of the people who are not believing the word. That was my question, remember? The house is not believing the word as it's spoken, but just sitting to wait and see if it's going to come to pass. That's not our job. O rebellious house, will I speak the word and will perform it, says the Lord. Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of times that are afar off. Therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord, there shall none of my words be deferred any more, but the word which I shall speak shall be performed, saith the Lord. All right. Well, a chain of prophesied things, I believe, will now begin to come. Things we were told would come, like the military takeover and the bringing down of the deep state governments worldwide and the return of President Trump with Nasara, Jassara, and gold and silver-backed economy and the GCR, the man-child anointing, new free media, declassification of criminals, new internet, free energy, etc. I believe that the shutting down of the old is what we're going to see first. And it's happening with the 10 days of darkness. They are saying again, which I said before, we're starting the 10 days of darkness. We were told, let me say, I think they said it would start Monday or Tuesday, but I'm not sure which. We were told, again, I'm not paying attention to them. I'm paying attention to what the Lord has said here, okay? We were told trucks and airplanes would be grounded, which is beginning to happen. Movement is beginning to be restricted by hacking into the fuel pipelines and a shortage of fuel to keep people at home for a lockdown, which we are calling the 10 days of darkness, and a declassification by the military-run media. And the largest fuel pipeline in the United States from the southern refineries going up the East Coast was just hacked into and brought down. And also there is a shortage of gas in the West. So this is a major pipeline here. This is what feeds all of the East Coast. All right. I put a video in here that speaks about this. Shortages in the West and now Colonial Pipeline down. Coincidence? No. This is what they said they were going to do. So I'm telling you, this is a sign that they're going to do what they said they're going to do. They wouldn't bring this down now if they weren't about to do it. This man is wrong, of course, in the video, who is behind this hacking. You know, he's thinking it's the deep state. It is not. It is the Patriot military that's doing this. And it's to get people to stay in their homes and watch this D-class of the criminals. So let me say, get gas in your cars and in your cans, and get food in your houses and so on and so forth, and get ready for something, for all of this actually to trickle in, you know. Michael, she went on to say, was speaking about not losing heart or faith. He said, but all we have to do is to know that the Holy Spirit is always with us. And then he started to quote a portion of Scripture from a New Testament letter. And I think it was chapter 6, and at the beginning. Okay, and after the dream, I went through the New Testament letters and looked at chapter 6, 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2, seemed to fit this dream. And working together with him, we entreat also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. How do we work with God? He gives the promise and we believe it and speak it, right? God makes provision in grace, but we claim it by faith. Otherwise, we're given the grace of God in vain. In other words, God can speak it, but it don't come to pass. It's in vain, because people don't believe it and speak it. So without faith, we receive the provision in the Word, but it's in vain. And the Word didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard, the Scripture says, right? Okay, verse 2. For he saith, at an acceptable time I hearkened unto thee, and in a day of salvation. This is a great day of salvation that is coming. Not for the wicked, but for the righteous. In a day of salvation did I succor thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. All right. So she got this by faith at random. Okay. This one was received by searching out what the scripture, what the text told her to look for, right? So, we believe we have received. And when do you do that? Now, according to Mark 11 and 24. And that's regardless of what the gurus say. Faith moves the earth, not men, right? And our God puts faith in our hearts, and he gives us promises that are specific. I mean, there are general prophecies all through the scriptures we're supposed to believe, but there are specific things that comes in dreams and prophecies. That's the reason we need dreams and prophecies. Okay? As he did this, his face had such peace and joy. In other words, he was entering into the rest by faith. Amen. He then asked me to quote the rest of it because he had forgotten it, but I could not remember it. So I asked the Lord for a word about what Michael was reading and received by faith at random Acts 2 and 2, in context 2, 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was now come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound as of a rushing and of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house that they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues parting asunder like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So, this is the guidance and the power that Jesus told them to wait for before going forth with the gospel to build the kingdom of God. So stand in faith for the promised things, right? Amen. have a firm expectation, which is what the word hope means in the New Testament. Then we saw David sitting in a yellow living chair, reading a very large Bible. It had many notes in it, like a reference Bible. And she said, maybe this is the words, dreams, and prophecies the Lord has given us. And this Bible was hardbound and about 12 inches thick. Now, that's a thick Bible, okay? And I believe 12, of course, is the number of completion. 12 tribes, 12 apostles, on and on, right? It's the number of completion, which could point to many things like the bride and the man-child and the fall of Babylon, deep state, etc. Okay? The completion of these things. So, he was sitting down, he was reading this very large Bible, and then she says, he got up from the chair as all of us in the room stood up. Okay, everybody stood up. Notice that. And saw a white cloud out the windows around the house. Aha! Well, all standing up represents the presence of the Holy Spirit's leading and believing for the promises to come to pass. Remember in the wilderness that when the Israelites were with the cloud, and the cloud lifted, they moved with the cloud. They stood and they moved with the cloud. And when the cloud stayed, they stayed. In other words, sitting, right? So God is saying we're to move with the Spirit of God. And how do you help the Spirit of God in this situation? Well, when God speaks something, you believe it and you speak it and you confess it and you will see it come to pass. And then she said, this house was up high at the top of the tree line. And I believe this represents overcomers reaching Mount Zion, scaling and reaching the top of Mount Zion. Then David took his big Bible and folded it into a rectangle and put it on a small table. It was about 16 by 4 and was open at the top. Someone said, it is the U.S. Treasury, quote unquote. Well, the Bible is our treasury, and it is big, and it's full of promises of all things, and all of our notes of the dreams and visions and revelations being in it. All of this is a huge thing, and it's like a blank check. Yes, it is. And I thought, how can all the money fit in there? How does all the money fit in this huge Bible? Because of the promises. You know, Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Do you believe it? Then you can act on it, right? He will do it. In the dream, I thought that the largest bill is $100 and that there should be larger bills because of inflation. And I'm thinking this may be saying that we should believe for more because more will be needed. God's people are going into the wilderness. They need a provision there. The provision has been put in our hands to get prepared for that day. We've got many dreams and visions about it already. Okay? In this dream, I was hearing the song, Standing. There it is, standing on the promises of God. Yes, standing on the promises. Promises come in more than one way. Promises can be written in the Bible. They can be written in the margin because it's things that came from the Bible and things that are specifying certain things that the Bible promises, okay? So the Lord is saying, don't just wait for the promises. You be a part of their coming to pass. Stand. And like the song, standing on the promises, right? Stand and believe that you have them, and they will come to pass. Which is what Jesus said to always do. Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you receive them. And it is past tense, by the way. Received them, and you shall have them. So, all things whatsoever that you pray and ask for. And, of course, when we receive promises in the way that they received them in the Scriptures, by the way, dreams, visions, prophecies, when we receive promises, we're to believe we received them. Okay? And so here's another revelation that was given the same day. Man-child is getting impatient, we called it. Claire Pinar received this on 4/28/21. I dreamed I was watching David Eales, and we were in a white house with white walls. And David was saying, how much longer? How much longer, Lord? And I heard Michael Hare say, he's growing impatient. And then Claire wrote in the parenthesis, I think David represents Jesus in the man-child ministers, and Michael, meaning who is like God, represents our Father. And, of course, we know Jesus is coming soon, manifested by word and spirit in his David man-child body. I said, wow, that's funny. I thought he was perfect. I also experienced impatience at times, but I know I shouldn't be. In my comment to Claire when I received a dream and read it, I said, well, it seems Jesus himself was impatient at times. During his ministry here on earth, he said, for instance, in Matthew 17:17, and Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Sounds like the same thing, doesn't it? And then I wrote, well, try waiting for Jesus to come for 50 years. And the last 11 being shot at every day by Judas. I put a big smiley face there. Then Michael said, and of course, it's who is like God, right? Then Michael said, it won't be too much longer now. And I believe the Father is saying that the epiphany or the shining forth of the man-child in his first fruits is soon. Praise the Lord. And then he laughed and said, David's not perfect yet. Now, how did Michael know that? He's just jumping to conclusions here. she wrote, could this mean the man-child anointing has not come yet? Yes, of course it could, yep. Or that the hundredfold glory has not been attained? Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. The man-child body has been anointed with the former rain anointing, but has not yet been caught up to the throne to receive or manifest the latter rain anointing to start their end-time ministries during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. And David had an anointing to kill the lion and the bear and the Philistines as the head of armies of Israel under Saul, before he received the anointing as king and sat on the throne. So, yes, there's a certain anointing that's there. It's not the kingly anointing yet, okay? But this is very soon from everything that we're seeing. It's upon us, okay? Then I had a vision of Leah, spelled L-E-I-A, my Mormon neighbor. She was walking behind me in this White House, and she was marveling at how white everything was. White House, of course, is a symbol of leadership and authority, right, in the nation. Okay. And when the man-child ministries begin, many of God's elect who are caught up in false religions and doctrines will have their eyes open to the truth, just like it was in Jesus' day. And they will be set free to follow the Lord in the wilderness tribulation. Amen. And then she puts a note here. Leah, spelled L-E-A-H, was Jacob's first wife. Her name in Hebrew means delicate and weary. And Leah, spelled L-E-I-A, my Mormon neighbor, only sees her doctrine. But we've prayed for them, and my children have prayed fervently for her children, as they think that they are lovely children. And, Leah, L-E-A-H, represents the Lord's first wife, Israel, who was under the law and had weak eyes and couldn't see in the spirit. And Rachel represents the Gentile church, who was born by the Spirit of the Lord and was his first choice all along. Some people don't believe that. Well, I'm so sorry. There's the letter people, and then there's the spirit people, right? The letter comes first, and then the spirit. That which is natural comes first, and then that which is spiritual, the Bible says. The natural gave way. It was a parable of the spiritual. We are the spiritual Jews. They are the letter Jews. Okay. The final fulfillment, by the way, are all going to be spiritual Jews. All of them. They'll be called all Israel. So, first those who are born after the flesh and the letter, and then those who are born of the Spirit. That's just the way it is. Some people don't like that. They want to glorify the natural and the old covenant and all these things. They don't even know they've come into a new covenant and the first covenant passed away. They don't know that. Okay. So I opened my Bible to Luke 4, 3 and 4 with my finger on, quote, command this stone, unquote, and, quote, answered, unquote. And the devil said unto him, if thou art the Son of God, command this stone that it become bread. And Jesus answered unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Okay, well, think about what time this was. This was the time that the man-child was tempted and overcame and started his ministry. Okay. She said, when I read this passage, it makes me aware that we're going through some temptations to be our own gods. Everybody goes through that. Or to do things in our own way, right? Or in the flesh, right? This is the enemy, and our flesh is weak. We must fight in the spiritual realm, giving an answer from the Word of God, like Peter says. But sanctify in your hearts Christ as Lord, being ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you a reason concerning the hope that is in you, yet with meekness and fear. Amen. Well, those revelations certainly fit well together about this being the time. Don't put it off. Start believing. Believe you have received, as Jesus told you and commanded you. Every time you pray, every time you get a promise, believe you have received it, right? It can be a promise in dreams or visions like it was in the Scriptures, or it can be straight out of the Scriptures, okay? And here's a revelation given to Gabe Watson on 4/24/21, and we called it, the man-child receives a new body. You know, does it? When someone is matured, do you think it's strange that they would be delivered from the curse, because Joel chapter 2 clearly says that. A restoration. Okay. So keep that in mind as we study this here. I had a dream that my ball team and I were staying in a very nice place. It was like a high-rise hotel or something like that. There were a lot of people sitting in the lobby up on one of the top floors of the high-rise. Well, this reminds me of the first dream from Vanessa, where David and his big Bible and the UBM people were high up above the tree line. Also, dreams that we've had of high-rise hotels represent different levels of maturity in Christianity. For Paul said that we are many buildings built together into one holy temple in the Lord. There's your high-rise. And the people at the top being the most mature. Okay, so that's what we see from this vision so far. I was getting ready to go to play a ball game, and my mom and wife were there. As we were waiting to go to the game, I'm going to break this and speak concerning this part. These games are a competition to see who wins first place, the trophy, whatever. We know who wins in the competition between the Satanists in the factions and the elect of God. We know who wins. We've already received it many times, and it's in the scriptures. Okay? So, in 1 Corinthians 9, 23 through 27, we're told, "And I do all things for the gospel's sake, that I may be a joint partaker thereof." If we don't do all things for the gospel's sake, how are we going to be a joint partaker thereof? "Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" Well, I thought a lot of people were running this race. Yes, they are. But that one who wins is Christ. And those who consistently abide in him, meaning they are the body of Christ, right, who will conquer their enemies quickly. Okay, so the competition is against our enemies. And we win. We already know we've won. They don't know it yet. They're very arrogant and very foolish and demon-possessed. And they always think they can win, just like the devil, right? But even so, he says, "Run that you may attain. And every man that striveth in the games exercises self-control in all things." So here's that competition again. Not that we've got a competitive spirit. We do not. But we fight as the Lord taught us to fight, and against enemies that are destroying God's people and themselves. So now, he goes on to say, "They do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run as not uncertainly, so fight I as not beating the air." In other words, vainly, uselessly, right? "But I buffet my body and bring it into bondage." You're making your flesh serve the word of the Lord, to serve the Holy Spirit, right? You're making it happen. "I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected." Yes, many preachers will be rejected. Paul himself was saying here that he could be rejected, right? So, I'll start this sentence again. "As we were waiting to go to the game, I overheard my mom talking to some people about a dream that Anna Stewart had given her." Anna means gracious or merciful, and steward means guardian or keeper of a household. Anna represents the bride, who is the first fruits to come out of the apostate mother church. She will bring fresh revelation of the gospel to many starving Christians who will also be coming out of their Babylonish religion, which they think is Christianity. But you compare the Bible with their religion and you say, something's missing here. Lots missing here. Yes. I don't know why people cannot see that. That's because they don't read the Bible. They put it down. After they figure out that their church has it all and they know everything, they just put their Bible down and listen to them, because it's confusing to read the Bible and find out so many things contrary to what the preacher says, especially if you glorify the preacher and not the Bible. Right? Mm-hmm. My mom was super excited about the dream and was trying to explain it to the people. Well, let me say, those in the mother church who get this revelation will certainly get excited, as we have all been excited when we see it, right? But they will be too immature to explain it. As you know, when you first came into it and you wanted so much to give it to other people, you were not very good at explaining it, right? Because you have to mature in the experience of it, right, to be able to explain it right. And Paul talked about not daring to share any things except those which the Holy Spirit had done through him, right? So she was explaining how David Eales came to Anna in the dream and was explaining how this new body is merged with a baby body. So this new body of immature people of God will be excited to be growing in the revelation of Christ in us, the hope of glory, right? And joined with this new baby body. Well, none of these people even consider a fact that they are babies. But they can sit in church for a long, long time and still be babies, because they never get the food they need to grow up. They're not eating the meat of the word. They're still on the pabulum. They're still on the bottle, right? And Anna was also explaining to my mom how the baby was able to go number two, even with the new body. Able to go number two. Well, we know that number two means getting rid of the waste. Paul talked about that when he left his dead religion and followed the Lord. He called it all dung. Yep, he realized, got the revelation of it. So finally, through this new revelation, this immature body will begin to grow into the image of Christ by getting rid of the dung that Paul spoke about, the waste of a merely religious life. And as you know, many religious people are very self-righteous, and as I've said before, they're mean as snakes. So, well, I mean, obviously that is not Christ or Christianity. You can see by the fruit, but they don't realize it because they've got an idol. I could hear Anna explaining the number two part in a not-so-glorious way, and kind of laughing about it in a playful way. Well, I have seen Anna dealing with the same situation. Anna knows, for she is caring for a young baby boy right now. In fact, just yesterday I saw her dealing with this same situation, number two, right? So, as I overheard my mom speaking, I was thinking, my mom is very confusing and messing this up, and I can't understand what she's saying. I really need to get my hands on that dream and see what David was talking about to Anna. I really wanted to know, and I was interested in what she was saying, and then I woke up. Well, the mother church will soon realize, if they have eyes to see, that they are no longer the teacher, but the pupil. They've always considered themselves the teacher. And all of them told us we were going astray when we came out from among them. We were going astray. Yeah, you've been there, right? Okay, but they are the pupil. They are not the teacher anymore. And in the process of weeding out the old leaven and putting the true picture together, it takes a while, because the Bible says the sum of thy words is truth. It's line upon line here, a little and there a little, we're told. And they're not proficient at the word. So they haven't put the puzzle completely together, even so they got daylight coming in, you know. It's still not all there yet. So they shouldn't be teachers. Back off. Don't do it. Wait till you get the revelation. There are many people go to Bible college, and in a couple of years they're ready to teach everybody because they got that certificate. That's goofy. You know, read the Bible. Those are the teachers. There the teachers are. Read your Bible. Don't trust anybody else. Okay, so here's a revelation given to Vanessa Weeks on 4/3/2021, and we called it UBM People of Strength. And there's a revelation in here. I dreamed that David was sitting down and wearing a white short-sleeve polo shirt. And she said, this represents pure works and a pure heart. His arms were showing, meaning his strength was showing. He said to us of UBM, we are a people known for our strength, quote unquote. We are a people known for our strength. Then he gave a little laugh and said, quote, from now on and in the past, unquote. Now, what did that mean? I believe it means we have been known for our strength in the past and will be so in the future. And in the future outpouring especially, right? And also there is a repeat of history from the past to today. And today is being repeated what happened before in history, right? So Psalm 68 and 35 says, O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel, he giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. Amen. Lord, you do give strength and power. You taught the disciples for 3.5 years. They had the very best teacher, but still they weren't ready. And then you anointed that knowledge that you gave to them with the Holy Spirit, and then they were ready. Amen. So David was motioning with his hands and arms. In other words, showing strength. And I believe the Lord is saying that the man-child and the bride company are a people of strength. Of course, in Jesus' day, who was it that showed the strength of God? It was Jesus and those disciples. And who did John the Baptist say they were? Well, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. And Jesus was the bridegroom. He was the man-child. And the bride were these first fruits company that followed him, that he made into a company of two witnesses that he sent forth into all the places that he was about to come. Sounds like the book of Revelation, doesn't it? Yeah, that's because it is. And so that was the strength of the Lord. These people raised up the fivefold ministry. They began and laid the foundation of the church. And now it has to happen again, because the church doesn't even have the foundation. When I woke up, I thought of the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Nehemiah 8:8-10. And they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and they gave the sense, so that they understood the reading. and Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Now, they were reading the scriptures to them and giving them the understanding of it. This day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. See? Meaning they were ignorant, and now their eyes were enlightened to know the truth that they had been missing. And, of course, this means repentance, right? And then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto him for whom nothing is prepared. There you go. Look at that. Send portions for him for nothing. In other words, get it, you eat it, you drink it, and you send it out. Let me say, it's been a spectator sport to be a member of the church these days. You just go to church and go home. Go to church and go home. You never put it to work. You never walk in the steps of Jesus, and you don't think it's necessary, and so on. That's ridiculous. That's not why Jesus raises up disciples. It's to walk in his steps and do what he did and do the signs that he did. These signs shall accompany them that believe. So it's just a spectator thing. You know, that's all they think it is. And, of course, the pastor's very happy to be the center of attention all through the time that he's evangelizing the evangelized, right? For this day is holy unto our Lord. There it is. This day is holy unto our Lord. And it is so that when people get the word, they act on it. Neither be ye grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, don't be grieved at what you missed out on, you know, forgetting those things which are behind. Press forward to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, right? So it's a time to believe and to reap the rewards, because now the believers will be believers. Okay? The joy of the Lord is our strength when we hear the word of God and repent, she said. Thank you, Father, that you are sending your men to give the sense of your word so that there will be repentance and joy in your house. Amen. Good interpretation there. And I asked the Lord for a word about this dream and received by faith at random, Luke 24 and 36, in context 26 through 36. And notice this strength is shown to be when the man-child resurrects to the throne. Because remember when Jesus, the man-child, came in throne authority, he taught the disciples, and they too became strong. They went out, and they came back rejoicing, because the demons were subject unto them, and they were healing the sick, and so on and so forth. Their strength was known, right? Luke 24, 26 through 36. Behooved it not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And, of course, the man-child does this too. Suffered at the hands of the wicked and enter into the glory of God, right? And beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they were going. And he made as though he would go further. And they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards the evening, and the day is now far spent. And he went in to abide with them. And it came to pass, when he had sat down with them to meat, he took the bread and blessed, and breaking it, he gave it to them. There you go. Well, the man-child, just like Jesus did, will break the bread of the word to the disciples, and they will rejoice. How many of you know the feeling, right? Wow. There it is. I've been reading over that for years. And look at it. Wow. Yeah. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Oh, their eyes were opened, and they knew him. They saw the man-child. And they said one to another, Was not our hearts burning within us while he spake to us in the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? That's what he called breaking bread, you see. Open to us the scriptures. Let's look on the inside of this bread here. Peel it open. And they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they rehearsed the things that had happened in the way, how that he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. And they spake these things. As they spake these things, he himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. So the resurrected man child, Jesus, will repeat history in his first fruits body today. Yes, he will. And I also received Song of Solomon 4:1. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thine eyes are as doves behind thy veil. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that lie along the side of Mount Gilead. And he goes on down to describe, of course, the body. And Barry had a note here. He said, As the disciples' eyes were opened to see the Lord for who he really was, so his bride will have open eyes to see him in the man-child behind the veil of his flesh. Yes, and also the bride will be admired by Jesus in the man-child. That's what was spoken there, right? A few days later, I told this dream to Brandy and Amber, and Brandy said he wondered to whom we are known for our strength. So a lot of people around us who have eyes to see know that and see that, and they've received the benefits of that. You know, that's obvious, okay, but there's some more. So I asked the Lord, who knows us this way and received by faith at random the same text as above, but one verse later. Oh, that's neat. Luke 24:37, in context, 33-37. And they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they rehearsed the things that had happened in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of the bread. And as they spoke these things, he himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. So break the bread, saints. I mean, you got that big Bible? Break it open. See what's in there. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they beheld a spirit. Okay, so the question was, to whom we are known for our strength. Well, notice that this strength is shown to be when Jesus resurrects in the man-child David ministries. If you've got eyes to see, history always repeats. Let's see, how does this repeat in our day, right? So I asked the Lord for a second word on who knows us as a people of strength, and received by faith at random Isaiah 65:22. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. Well, you know what? The evil people steal from God's people. The wicked are a bunch of thieves. They steal. They love to do it. It's the devil in them. Right? For as the days of a tree shall be the days of my people, my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. And he's saying, no longer is he going to permit this crucifixion. no longer is he going to permit them to have to turn the other cheek, right? For now, it's not going to happen anymore. It's over. The plundering by the wicked is over, and the reward for the bride has come. And won't they be shocked? And she said, it seems it is the chosen and the disciples that know his strength. It's true. They believe in it. They know it. You can tell other people about the great miracles you've seen and what God even did through you. And, they look at you funny, don't they? But the true disciples, they rejoice. They know that the Lord does this through people, right? And, of course, this is talking about when the man-child resurrects from the crucifixion, right? Then on 4:14 and 21, I dreamed of Joshua 1 and 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not affrighted, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Hallelujah. Amen. Be strong and of good courage. He commands us to have that strength that he's talking about. And of course, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God so that this can be so, right? This next revelation was given to Eve Brost on 4/30/21. And we called it, the Father is sifting the peoples. Yes, he is. Important revelation here. Pay attention. I dreamed that I was standing just inside the front door of the Right Side mobile home on the land down in Texas that my father, representing the Father, had given me for my inheritance when he died. Well, there's that famous mobile home. Okay. The right side is where the Lord puts the righteous, the sheep, the wheat, you know, and he separates them from the rebellious goats on the left, right? Yeah. And this land represents our inheritance, she said, our promised land that we must conquer by faith in Jesus and the promises in the Word. You might be given an inheritance, saints, but if you don't claim it by faith, you won't have it. The righteous shall live from faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. People read the Bible all the time, and they don't even believe what they're reading. They think they're enjoying it, but they're not putting it to work. They're not acting upon it. Just remember, God's not a respecter of persons. What he gave to them and the promises he gave to them, he gave to us. That's why they wrote it down and passed it down to us. I was looking towards the kitchen where my father was sitting. And that's, of course, where the food of the Word is prepared, right? He was larger than life and was seated on a couch facing my direction behind a clear glass paneled enclosure. He was separate. He was holy, right? There was a female Justice Department official holding a clipboard and a pen who was dressed in a rose-colored business skirt and a cream-colored blouse. She was inside the enclosure with my father and was asking him many, many questions and recording his answers. So, this justice has been passed down by the Father. We have seen a lot of injustice. The most wicked people on the face of the earth have we seen. taking authority in the church and in the government and in the media, these wicked people. And we've all wondered, well, let's see, Lord, when is justice going to come? Well, he's saying it's coming. So this justice official was taking answers, direction from the Lord. They're receiving direction from the Lord. And they're about to dispense his justice on these wicked people. In fact, they've been doing it for some time, but in a much bigger way now. So she said, Father's justice is about to be handed down. He means business and is going to sift the earth and its inhabitants with his upcoming judgments. Yeah, he's about to dispense justice to the factions of the deep state in the world and in the church. These factious people who are full of hatred and criticism and theft and fornication and every other thing you can think of. Murder. Yeah. He is about to dispense his justice. My mother was standing a little behind me on the left, and there was the presence of a man that stood a little behind me on my right. I understood in the dream that this was the presence of the Lord. And she said, my mother could represent the apostate church mother that God's elect are commanded to come out of. As I looked at my dad, who passed away in 2012, and observed his facial expressions and his mannerisms, I thought to myself, wow, I never realized how important he was and just how much I look like him and act like him. Well, we hope so, right? I sure do miss him. I wish I could be with him again and talk with him again, unquote. So she said, if we are sons of God, we will look like him and act like him. We will have his nature and his character. Amen. Romans 8:12-17. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you must die. And it's an easy thing to live after the flesh. It's all going downstream, right? It's the way of nature. You know, everybody gets old and they get more and more corrupt and they end up in a nursing home and they're babbling and blah, 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 whatever. It's the curse. It finally just takes its toll, right? And he says, if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. I remember I went into one nursing home and there was a preacher in there. And he would preach up a storm. But he was totally out of his mind. It was just demons talking in him and they knew how to preach. I'm telling you, they could preach. And then all of a sudden, to bring disrepute to everything they said, they start cursing everybody and everything around them. So you knew it was the devil. Yeah. So there's a lot of preachers that the devil is doing it. And then through their life, they bring disrepute to the whole gospel. And people get up and walk out of there, the ones that got sense. You know? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Yes, he's our Father. How can he be your Father? Well, as we manifest his nature, character, and authority, his name, we manifestly make him our Father. And, of course, he's doing that in us. We are born from above, born of him. Look like him, walk like him, do what he did, the disciples, which means learners and followers, followed Jesus, watching everything, listening to everything. Then they went out and did likewise. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. Well, what do you have to suffer? The death of the old self-life. You buffet your body, you bring it into bondage, that we may be also glorified with him. Notice, look at the condition there. People aren't paying any attention. They just live their life after the flesh and expect to fly away to heaven. The faithful will look like him. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with an unveiled face, in other words, those people who can actually have eyes to see, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, in other words, claiming his likeness, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. So we're supposed to look like him. How can you say he's your father if you don't look like him? Right? They're strange children spoken about in the scriptures. Why is that? They don't look like the father. How could they be the children? They look strange, you know? Everybody knows that. Then the man, or presence, to the right of me, Jesus, began to talk, and a white piece of paper appeared in front of my face. It had three rectangular boxes on it, which were like three different tiers or groupings of people. Representing the structure of the temple. The Holy of Holies, the Holy Place, and the Outer Court. This represents the temple being God's people, three different types of people, right? And three different types of maturity, etc. And you remember the Outer Court was left for the Gentiles to trample under feet, right? In the first box, at the top of the page, was only my name, Eve Brost, printed. I am representing in this dream a corporate body of people because my name is Eve. I am being used to represent the bride of the last Adam, Jesus, just as Eve was the bride of the first Adam, right? Okay, there's the natural and there's the spiritual, as we said. The presence of the Lord began to explain to me all the benefits and rewards of the inheritance that I was going to receive for being in this first tier or box. I understood that I was to receive the greatest and the best rewards and inheritance. And soon everybody's going to know it too. Isaiah 61:6-7 says, But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory shall you boast yourselves. Instead of your shame, you shall have double, because obviously the shame has come from the shameful people who have falsely accused and lied about the bride, stolen from the bride, etc., lusted after the bride, and everything else. Yes. Instead of your shame, you shall have double. And instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, I mean not in Babylon, but in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. And how much Isaiah has to say about the joy of the bride. And, you know, besides, the bride abides in the king's house and is a joint heir with him, like Esther, and escapes the hour of trial, like the Philadelphia church. Yeah, you just can't, it's hard to count all the blessings of the bride. They're all through there. Okay. Then, His presence drew my attention to the second box or tier. And there were many, many names printed in that tier. And he was telling me that they too would receive rewards and an inheritance, but that they would be much, but that they would receive much less and inferior to what I would be receiving. Well, that's true. We've told you this from the beginning. There's a great inheritance for the bride, a lesser inheritance for the moon glory, right? The sun glory, the moon glory, and the star glory. These are three levels, right, of maturity, as Paul taught. The sun is the bride, and the moon is those that reflect the Lord, but it's not internally manifested quite yet. And then there's the star glory, who have their own glory. There were so many that fell into this category. That, in other words, the second category, the second box, the second tier. So many that fell into this category, most of the church. That is the church. There are many that are in the church that are not the church, and you know that. So this group of people represent God's elect that will come out of apostasy in the religious church system. They're like the little sister of Song of Solomon, and also the queens and the concubines of the king. Like Psalm 6 and 9 says, my dove, my undefiled, is but one. She is the only one of her mother. There's that one again. Only one finishes the race, right? It leads the race. And that's because they're abiding in the one, Jesus Christ. And in him is no sin, the Bible says. She is the choice one of her that bare her. The daughter saw her and called her blessed. Yea, the queens and the concubines, they praised her. Oh, praise be to God. And also Song 8, Song of Solomon 8, 8 and 9. We have a little sister. She hath no breasts. What shall we do for our sister in the day when she shall be spoken for? If she be a wall, we will build upon her a turret of silver. And if she be a door, we will enclose her with boards of cedar, which represent eternal life, right? So, the bride here is speaking, the bride is building the little sister, like the disciples who went forth to bring others into the kingdom, right? And finally, my attention was drawn to the last box or tier. His presence began to tell me all about this group of people and how wicked they were all found to be. He told me of all their evil works and everything that they would be punished for. And we've told you about them time and time again, warned you of them, warned you how people end up being like them, especially unforgiveness, criticism, and they get totally demon-possessed. And every kind of corruption and filthiness is in them, just like they're finding out about the deep state. My spiritual ears were then opened, and I heard overwhelming screams of torment and the rushing winds of fire that were sweeping over all the people in this category. There were so many names written in this box, more than I could count. This group was, by far, the largest group of people. Yeah. And yet these appear to be people who claim to know the Lord. And she said, this reminds me of Howard Pittman's testimony when the angel showed him the percentage or ratio of saved to the unsaved deaths upon the earth. Yeah, it was a major distinction. And those by far were the people who went to hell. Okay. Also, I knew in the dream that the most recent factious leader's name and some of the names of the people that followed him into faction were prominently displayed on this third-tier list in bold black lettering. Did you hear that? We've been warning you about these people, not because we're angry with them, we're unforgiving towards them. They helped us to our cross, and for that, they will have to suffer in hell. Okay? Those that don't repent. And there are many that cannot. They cannot repent. So the factious leader was there, people that followed him, and they were pointed out. And we had a very clear dream of him going to hell. Very clear. There was no doubt about it. And we've had other dreams of him failing Satan's mission for him and dying. And him dying. So it's a sad thing. I mean, we tried all along the way to bring correction gently. And sometimes not so gently, because he was destroying and killing God's people. And some of his disciples too. And you should see them today. In just a few years, they look so corrupt. Going back to wearing long ponytails and looking like the world and so on and so forth. Their children, totally corrupt, full of lusts of the world. She said, I felt bad for all these people in this last tier. There were so many of them that had lost out on having any inheritance in the kingdom of God, and they weren't even aware of this fact. Remember what the Lord said. 2/3 would be cut off and die. And the third part he would bring through the fire and sanctify them. Yes, that's the way it is. His presence behind me on the right began telling me that my Father was now sifting and separating everyone into these three tiers. I felt a little guilty that my name was the only one in the top tier. Of course, she explained that very well. The Father explained it to her, as she's representing a body of people. I began to question why this was. I didn't think it seemed right. And then my mother spoke up and said, "You are his only child, his only daughter." And I thought in the dream, "But I have a half-sister. What about her?" And my mother told me that she was included in the second tier with those who would receive a much lesser inheritance. She then said, "You are his firstborn and very beloved by him." And I say, amen. Christ in us, Eve said here, is the firstborn of the Father. And Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image of his Son. In other words, once again, you will look like him, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I woke up confused by this dream because in real life I do have a half-sister. She is the daughter of my dad's first wife, and she is 6 years older than me. I remember my dad striving with her over the phone for many years concerning the scriptures and the things of the Lord, and trying to convince her that Jesus was the only doorway into heaven. But she always rejected the message because of her New Age philosophies that she had picked up from her mother. her mother recently died of cancer, and to this day she still holds on to her New Age beliefs. But I'm praying for her salvation and deliverance. And evidently from this revelation, she will learn, but she will learn after the first fruits are brought forth and will be in the second box, so to speak. As I began to meditate on this dream, I realized that I represented a corporate body of the first fruits man-child and bride that will inherit the greatest portion and gifts in the kingdom of heaven, and here on earth, by the way. This is why only my name appeared in the first box and tier. Yeah. Okay. Like David was in Jerusalem, but also over Jerusalem, the bride. So the man-child is a member and a head of the bride. Jesus, David was over Jerusalem. David, representing the man-child, is over Jerusalem, the bride. And the man-child is also a member of and a head of the bride. That's right. David was the ruler over the bride, but he was also in Jerusalem, in the bride. So both of those are revelations. So this is a very small group and the firstborn in the kingdom of God because they have come to maturity first by the crucifixion of the wicked and the grace of God. It's true. It's true. These people are hated. They were looked down on by the queens, virgins, and concubines until she was chosen. Then they changed their mind. Uh-oh, we made a mistake. Yeah, read it in Song of Solomon. Psalm 45:9-17. King's daughters are among thy honorable women. At thy right hand doth stand the queen in gold of Ophir. So there are honorable women, king's daughters, but the queen was standing in gold at the right hand. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. See, many people believe that these people are supposed to be held first in everything, and that you have to please them. But God is saying, nope, it's not that way. You have to please me. So forget all thine own people and thy father's house, so will the king desire thy beauty. For he is thy Lord, and reverence thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. See, this is that blessings that come upon the bride. And the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. The king's daughter within the palace is all glorious. Her clothing is inwrought with gold. There it is. The bride is in gold. And, you know, we're put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we make no provision for the lust to fulfill them. And so your clothing is your works. So this is meaning that her works are the most valuable in the kingdom. Amen. And she's the daughter of Tyre. You know, Sidon off the coast was the daughter of Tyre. Sidon on the coast was the mother of Tyre, right? And we've seen that as Britain and America off the coast. You know. So, verse 14, she shall be led unto the king in broidered work. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. So the virgins are not the bride. That's very clear here. They are not the bride. They are actually the attendants of the bride. They escort the bride and the groom to the groom's home, which is, by the way, in heaven. Yeah, so the marriage feast is held on the earth, and we're feasting on the body and blood of Christ here in order to come into his image. Shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be led. By who? By the bride, just as they were in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children. So these people are considered the children of the bride. These people who are born through the words of the bride who went forth to teach them, like the disciples did, whom John the Baptist called the bride. Instead of thy father shall be thy children, whom thou shalt make princes in all of the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. So the bride will raise up her little sister as in the Song of Solomon, right? How awesome is God showing us wonderful things. And here's another interesting thing. We had that morning, after this revelation was shared, we had morning verses that we received by faith at random on that 4:30 and 21 morning. And I'll just share some of them with you. And I probably could get through with all of them, except I run out of time. Anyway, Deb got this verse, Isaiah 45:13. The king's daughter within the palace is all glorious. Didn't we just read that? Well, this was by faith at random. Her clothing is inwrought with gold. You see why we read the scriptures. We love the scriptures. We seek after the scriptures. We seek to walk in the steps of the Lord Jesus. Everybody that abides in him walks in his steps. That's what the scripture says. Instead, they're walking in the steps of dead religion. Kathleen got, her finger was on the title of the chapter, The Reign of the Lord's Anointed. Psalm 2:2-12. You know, there was an anointed in Jesus' day. Now there's an anointed in our day. Okay, Jesus in his people. The kings of the earth set themselves. There's your deep state. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds asunder. Is that exactly what they're doing or what? And cast away their cords from us. They would love to kill all the Christians. They got plans to. He that sitteth in the heavens will laugh. The Lord will have them in derision. Are they in derision or what? Then will he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. There's the man-child. And I will tell of the decree. The Lord said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give thee the nations for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Yeah, all things belong unto his saints, meaning his sanctified ones. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, as he says the overcomers will do in the book of Revelation. And thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. In case you think that that's the Lord, it is said in the book of Revelation that these are the overcomers. And of course, those are people in whom the Lord lives. So you're not so far from being right there. Now therefore be wise, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. Some people said, he'd never do that to me. For his wrath will soon be kindled. Blessed are all they that take refuge in him. If you abide in him, you will bear fruit. That's what he said. And who is that fruit? It's Jesus in you. And Matt got this. Matt Farah got this. Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch out of his shoots, his roots shall bear fruit. And of course we know the stock of Jesse, David, right? And the Lord said there would always be a seed of David on the throne, right? So here we have it. And Jesus was that in his day, and Jesus in the man-child is that in our day. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor. That's because Jesus is in there doing the judging. Man cannot judge. Man judges, he is judged. Man does not have forgiveness, he is judged. He's turned over to the tormentors. You can look out there and see the tormentors. And decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Well, look at the man-child types in the scriptures and see if they didn't do that. You know, look at Moses, for instance, you know. He spoke judgment upon the Egyptians, wrath upon the Egyptians, closed the Red Sea upon the Egyptians, etc. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins. And these are the ones that, of course, the wicked want to slay so badly and have tried, but they will fail. And Eve got Matthew 22, 2 through 8. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king who made a marriage feast for his son. And by the way, that's all been prepared. And set forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the marriage feast, and they would not come. Isn't that interesting? There are so many that will not come. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them that are bidden, behold, I have made ready my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the marriage feast. Well, now these are people that were invited. They were called. That's what the word in the Bible, called, means, invited. They were invited to the marriage feast. Come and listen to the word of God by the man-child, through the man-child, right? But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. These are the things that were important to them. And the rest laid hold on his servants and treated them shamefully, and they have, and killed them, and they have, you know. But the king was wroth, and he sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned their city, and he will. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they that were bidden, or invited, same word here, were not worthy. So many are not worthy. Who was it that persecuted the disciples that he sent forth his armies and killed in the letter? It was the Jews, the Jewish leaders, the Jewish people that persecuted, killed Jesus and killed his disciples. Yeah. And he sent his armies too, didn't he? Yes, he did. Is he going to do it in these days? Yes, he is. They're murderers. The factious people are murderers. They're worse than, I mean, they have killed some people physically with their witchcraft. But that's not the worst thing. The worst thing is they have killed some people spiritually, and that's eternal. And for that, they will pay. Okay. And Judy got Psalm 27, 11 through 14. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Lead me into a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over to the will of mine adversaries, for false witnesses are risen up against me. Yes, they have. And such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Yes, all you that are persecuted by these wicked people, just remember, you need to believe to see the goodness of the Lord here and now in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let thy heart take courage. Yea, wait thou for the Lord. And Amber got Isaiah 66, 20 through 24. And they shall bring all your brethren out of all the nations for an oblation unto the Lord, upon horses and on chariots and litters and upon mules, upon dromedaries, to my holy mountain Jerusalem. Okay, so Jerusalem, of course, was the first fruits built, right? And all the rest of the of Israel was under Jerusalem's authority. So now they're coming out of the nations to come under Jerusalem's authority, which is the only place they can come if they're going to be righteous, says the Lord. As the children of Israel bring their oblation in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And of them also will I take for priests and for Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, says the Lord. And where is that? Where is the Lord, by the way? He dwelleth in Zion, the bride. And in the natural, where did he dwell? The temple in Jerusalem, the bride. And they shall go forth and look upon the dead bodies of the men that have transgressed against me. That's all these wicked that we've been talking about. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. Now don't tell me hell isn't eternal. Look, you might use eons as a way to worm out of it, but look what it says here. Their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Oh my. And Brandy says, John 11, 25 through 29, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live. Yes, there will be a resurrection of those who die. Okay. But now he says something else. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Oh, alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord? Well, it's more than that. These people receive resurrection life while they're still alive. How do you do that? The word of the Lord being manifested in us. That is the resurrection life of Jesus. And he says a good thing. Believest thou this? Okay, it's important who believes this. That's how you get in that first box up there, right? That Eve talked about. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I have believed that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, even he that cometh into the world. And when she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The teacher is here and calleth thee. And she, when she heard it, arose quickly and went unto him. Amen. And David, that's me, got Psalm 146, 7 through 9. Who executeth justice for the oppressed. You know the deep state and their counterparts in the church, the faction, right? God says he's going to execute justice for those that these people have oppressed. Who giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. Joseph came out of prison to rule over the people that lied, that harlot that lied about him, and the harlot's husband that persecuted him. Yeah. He came out of prison to rule. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth up them that are bowed down. And the Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the sojourners. He upholdeth the fatherless and the widow. By the way of the wicked he turneth, but the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. Yes, to them good is bad, and bad is good. And that's what they believe. And that's, of course, a total destruction of their life. It's called reprobation. And Merlene got this, Revelation 3, 7 and 8. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, which is brotherly love, right? These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, and he that openeth and none shall shut, and that shutteth and none openeth. All right. I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee a door opened, which none can shut. Oh, they have tried. They have tried desperately to shut that door. But you know what? The man-child and the bride will go forth in the power of the Lord, and these people will reap what they have sown. That thou hast a little power, and didst keep my word, and didst not deny my name. That's his nature, his character, and his authority. His word manifested in their hearts. And Debbie Finsky got Psalm 9, 3 through 5. When mine enemies turn back, they stumble and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in the throne judging righteously. Thou hast rebuked the nations. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast blotted out their name. You know, it was written, but it was blotted out in the book of Revelation. Those that didn't overcome, they were blotted out. They say, I've been saved. It won't make any difference. You're blotted out if you don't overcome. Thou hast blotted out their name forever and ever. Psalm 9 and 10. And this is, of course, talking about Christians who did not overcome. It's not talking about the world. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Amen. Powerful. All these verses agree so much with the texts that we've studied here. And Michael Hare got this, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. By the way, do you know what apostles do? They ordain the rest of the fivefold ministry. Do you know what happened to these people who were never considered any of these offices? They went forth and claimed bigger and bigger names. Some of them went up the ladder. They were evangelists, they were pastors, they were teachers, and then all of a sudden they were prophets and apostles. Guess who does that? They usurped the authority. They're usurpers like Absalom. For the perfecting of the saints. Now, God ordained these for the perfecting of the saints. Don't say saints can't be perfected. Don't call God a liar. There's some out there that do that. For the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of ministering. He makes saints to minister, not to sit on a pew. Unto the building up of the body of Christ. This is how the body is built. Not the way the dead church teaches at all. Till we all attain unto the unity of the faith. We should be believing the same things. It's written clearly. They deny the word of God. And the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a full grown man. In other words, matured. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look at that. Did you see that? Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And what would you look like if you had the fullness of Christ? Just like Him? That we may be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error. And these deceivers are all through the church out there. But speaking truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ. So we grow up into all things into Him who is the head. In other words, the head and the mind is connected to the body. It gives instructions that sends these instructions to the members of the body. The head does that, right? But if you haven't learned to obey Christ, because you're not even familiar with the Christ of the Bible, you certainly won't obey Him, then you're not growing up in all things into Him who is the head. From whom all of the body, fitly framed and knit together through that which every joint supplieth, according to the working in due measure of each several part, maketh the increase of the body unto the building up of itself in love. Amen. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, a full-grown man, a perfect man. And yet, these people who don't know God, don't know the power of the Word of God, tell you, you can't be perfect. Well, we know if we were all by ourselves, we wouldn't be perfect. But these people are all by themselves, and they don't believe in perfection. They don't believe in the maturing unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We believe that because we behold Him in a mirror, and we're turned into that same image. From glory to glory. So, how can a person grow up when they sit under such hogwash, right? How can they mature when they don't have faith and they don't believe what's written? They've learned, been trained not to pay attention to the Bible. And Tim got Zechariah 8:14-15. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to do evil unto you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, and I know that the church fathers that I first came under, they provoked Him to wrath. And when I realized it, I got away from them. When your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do good unto Jerusalem. Oh, there it is. And you watch carefully. They're working very hard, the wicked are. We've watched them. They think that they're going to stop this work of Jerusalem, but they are going to fail. And that's a thus saith the Lord. So again have I thought in these days to do good unto Jerusalem. to the house of Judah, fear ye not. Oh, thank you, Father. You know, the Lord is so good. He is going to perfect a people, mature a people, bring them into His image, give them His gifts, etc., etc., and they're going to go forth and do what those first disciples did. And they're going to be a witness to the whole world against the Pharisees and Sadducees of our day. You know, Don got this. Ezekiel 7:14-16. They have blown the trumpet and have made all ready, but none goeth to the battle. For my wrath is upon all the multitude thereof. You know what? There's a lot of God's people. They are not in the war at all. They don't have their armor on, so if they did go, they'd die. But they're not putting on the armor. But they're not going, as they were commanded to do in the Great Commission. And the sword is without, the pestilence and the famine within. He that is in the field shall die with the sword. He that's in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him. But those of them that escape shall escape. Oh, praise God for that. Repentance. Escape from this apostasy. And shall be on the mountains like the doves of the valleys, all of them moaning, every one in his iniquity. What grief we have of the wasted life in apostate Christianity. Everybody should grieve that. Lord, call your people out, Lord. We just read a text where you were going to bring them back to their leadership. Zion, the bride. Call your people out, Lord. Deliver them from this evil that's called the church these days. Lord, set your people free to know you and to grow up in you and to realize, what did you die for but to make reconciliation? In other words, make an exchange of your life for their life. That means your life has to come in their body. Thank you for the exchange, Lord, that you made. Oh God, we praise you for the gospel, the real gospel, that these people don't know and never did. They got a degree like the Pharisees and the Sadducees in their Bible college, but they didn't know the Lord. While the poor people were out there listening to Jesus. That's right. They were listening to the Word of God, Jesus. Now, these were the real knowledgeable people, whereas the so-called church that was led by the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the Zealots, and all these other people, those denominations didn't know him. They crucified him and his disciples. They didn't know him. And they don't today. They don't know him. Well, Lord, we pray for that mighty miracle you spoke about bringing your children out of the nations. Oh, God, let it be so, Lord. Bring your children out of the nations. Let them see and know the real gospel that you are offering to them yourself in this exchange, this reconciliation. You're offering to them yourself. They can feed upon your word and feed upon your spirit and come into your image. Lord, we pray that the gospel goes forth. There are so many ignorant people out there in the world. We are a part of two major revivals going on in this world. And I want to tell you, the people that are just coming into the kingdom are getting knowledge and loving it. And they're passing up and taking the crown of many who call themselves Christians but are not. And you know what they do? They go to work in the Father's fields. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for all that you have done for your people. Let them know what you have done, Lord. Let them know the purpose of Jesus' coming, Lord. The purpose of him laying down his life, Lord. The seed abides alone unless it falls unto the earth and dies. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit that look just like the original seed. They look just like the original seed. So the rest of that is not fruit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We're about to see many, many Jesuses walking around on this earth. It'll be the Son of God living in them. Yes. Thank you, Father, for this. In Jesus' name, Father. Thank you for your mighty works, your mighty power, your mighty promises. Lord, please give us the nations for our inheritance, as we spoke about earlier, Lord. Bring them into the kingdom that your own people have rejected as a repeat in history from the days of Jesus. Yes, bring them into the kingdom. Let them take up the crown. They appreciate it. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing. And we love you and we praise you for your mighty, mighty works. In the name of Jesus. Well, okay, saints. God bless you and keep you. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, thank you so very much. We're going to go to closure, I think, on the 18th, unless these 10 days sets it back a little bit. It might happen, but I'm not worried about it. So thank you so much for what you've done, and God bless you. We, by the way, you know, when we made the agreement, obviously we took down all the button and everything that people were giving with. But thank you so much. God bless you. Good night.